Mark chapter 1. It is well with my soul. It's certainly our prayer that you can say that today. Today is our Memorial Day weekend service. We will be having our commissioning service tonight at 5:30 for Mandy Dolworth for her volunteer student mission, and our chili cook-off afterwards. If you can prepare for this evening, we would love for you to do that. It is a competition. As you can read in the know, there will be three categories, and there will be a first and second award for each of those categories. But most importantly, you'll come, you'll deposit your chili downstairs, come up here at 5:30. We'll have a worship time with song, and then Mandy will present her VSM trip, and we'll pray over, and we will go participate in our chili cook-off. We would love for you to be a part of that. I got an opportunity to do something. A few weeks ago, Jeff Watson, Jim is the one that I went to at Friendship to honor. You may have noticed that I was not here right at starting of service. Friendship's service starts at 10:30. And a couple weeks ago, Brother Jeff told me that Jim was in poor health, and they had gotten all the family together, and they were going to all worship together, potentially, for the last time. And not knowing what the future held, because some of the family lives pretty far from this area. And so that got these tired wheels to rolling. Jim has faithfully pastored, preached, and been a missionary in our work here for all of his life. And potentially, he was going to be going home pretty soon without us as an association saying thank you. And so Sister Stacy did up a most beautiful certificate this week, put a frame on it, and of course had already cleared all this with John. And you should have seen the looks on their faces when I walked into church. Most of them were, "What are you doing here?" One of them was, "What are you doing here?" It's okay, sorry. And so Brother John allowed me for just a few moments to read the certificate and have Jim come up and present it to him. It was good. And praise God for it. Folks, when someone serves your association all their life, that deserves some recognition. And so I am the moderator of the Merrimack and the State Association, so I felt like that gave me some latitude to do that without a vote. And so we did it. Now, what did I do? I memorialized Jim while he was still living. I gave a rose to the living. True story. He's standing here at Friendship, of course, and my hand and his whole body is quivering. And I don't know if that's because of the health situation he's in, or he was so, I don't know, but he was quivering. It matters for us to tell people what we feel about him. Memorial Day weekend. Literally, hundreds of thousands of men and women have given their life for the freedom of this nation. Wow. That deserves recognition. It truly does. And so, as you know, it's well reported here, and I know you do it because I've seen you do it, and I've heard you tell stories about it. Anytime I see one of those hats, I'm so thankful that has become a thing that our veterans wear those hats. I tell them, thank you. And I try to make eye contact. I don't say it and walk on. I try to make eye contact with them, and if they'll let me, I'll shake their hand. I don't know if I told you the story, but the Walgreens situation. This elderly gentleman walks in, and he's got a World War II hat on. And I turn, and I said, "World War II vet?" And he looks at me and goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Thank you. I've met very few of those. Thank you. If I can ask, how old are you?" He goes, "I'm 96. that's what he did. And I'm older, too. "Man, I'm pleasured to meet you. Thank you for your service." He said, "Man, I was glad to do it." And he went on. I wouldn't have fought that dude for anything in the world. I think he'd been all over me. As Aaron Clinton used to say, like a spider monkey. I mean, he was in good shape for a 96-year-old gentleman, and he is a veteran. Now, we honor them on Veterans Day because they're living. This weekend is for those that are no longer living, whether it be because, quote-unquote, of natural causes or they gave their life on the battlefield. And so we're going to just take a few moments of silence to honor all of our fallen brothers and sisters in arms for the United States of America. So to all our young people, 20, 30, and under, two lessons on freedom. Number one, true freedom is not the freedom to do what you want. True freedom is the freedom to do what you ought. Lesson number two, real freedom is not free. It costs. It costs. And every freedom that you allow to be taken away can only be bought back with blood. Freedom isn't free. And true freedom is the freedom to do what you ought, not what you want. Mark chapter 1, would you please stand? Mark chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 14. We're going to talk about evangelism today. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, this is Jesus talking, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Again, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus is saying, you've gotten your prophecies fulfilled in me. I am the kingdom of God. If you want a definition for the kingdom of God, the greatest definition that I've ever heard, not from me, meaning, I didn't get this from myself. The kingdom of God is Jesus Christ in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. That's the kingdom of God. And Jesus was saying, he's here. I'm here. It is at hand. So this is what you do. Repent and believe in the gospel. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Change us to look more like you. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Simple message, the meaning of evangelism. Last week at our 120th birthday, we talked. This was the closing words of the message in both first and second service. Attention to addition will lead to multiplication as each member and attender takes the health and growth of the church as their personal responsibility. I hope and pray that number one, you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to try to develop that a little bit today. And I hope number two, you take that to heart. I believe that you are. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants you to. And I believe certainly that we can. But we must understand what evangelism is. And that's what this simple message is going to attempt to do. I joked with the first service that I'm not going to tell you how many points I have because it will depress you. But I promise you, we will get done quickly. They're not very long and laborious points. Point number one, evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel. That word proclamation is potentially a 15-cent word. I call evangelism a $15 word. It's a big word, but don't be scared of that. We're going to break it down. We're going to define it for you. Simply, evangelism is the proclamation, you're proclaiming, you're telling, you're shouting something. What are you shouting? What are you telling? What are you proclaiming? The gospel. That's what evangelism is. There are three Greek words from the Bible that deal with the gospel. Evangelion, which means gospel. We call it the good news. Evangelizo, proclaim or preach. Evangelistes, the evangelist. So here it is, put it in a sentence. The gospeler, gospelizing with the gospel. I've changed it to say this. A good news teller, telling the good news. That's what evangelism is. A good news teller. And why am I raising my hand? Because I need to be a good news teller. Church, you need to be a good news teller. A good news teller telling the good news. You hear the person say, well, I've chosen lifestyle evangelism. I'm just going to live like Jesus, and people will just automatically know how they can go to heaven. Folks, you've got to live lifestyle evangelism if you're going to evangelize, but sooner or later, you got to open your mouth and tell them how to accept Jesus. It takes both, and God blesses it when we do both. If you go tell the gospel and don't live it, you're a hypocrite. And we know what that does. It's giving the world their one excuse. I'm not going to go to that church. It's all full of hypocrites. Well, what do we say, Bethel? Come on in. The water's fine. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to help us with our hypocrisy and help us to overcome it. And so you and I can tell the good news. You and I can be tellers of the good news. So point number one, evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel. Point number two, evangelism is making disciples. This is an area that not just our church, but most if not all churches for the last 50 years have struggled with. I was not trained to make disciples. I was trained to tell the gospel. That's wonderful, but that's only half the commission. Matthew 28, 18 following says, go ye and tell. And then it says, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever I have commanded. Church, please hear me. Why do we as churches have some of the same statistical problems in social ill areas? Because we haven't discipled the people that we've won. We haven't taught them how to pray. We haven't taught them how to read their Bible. We haven't taught them how to worship. We haven't taught them how to share the gospel. We haven't taught them how to put the armor on. We haven't taught them how to use their spiritual gift. Fill in the blank. Make disciples. When you've won somebody to the Lord, you've got half the battle done. The rest of it is teaching them how to be little Christs. That's what the word Christian literally means. A little Christ. And that's what God needs. God needs little Christs running throughout Franklin County telling other people about Him. And He'll bless that. He will absolutely bless that. Evangelism is making disciples. Point number three. Evangelism is bearing witness to Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He says, you will be witnesses to Me and for Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. One of the reasons we're having a commissioning service, one of the reasons we prayed over Diana and Jackie, one of the reasons we prayed over Rylan, is because we believe that's part of us sending people out, if you will, to some level, to the uttermost parts of the earth. We have an entire missionary ministry within the BMA network that we're trying to reach the outermost parts of the earth. But watch this, church. It's not enough for us to support missions. We've got to do missions right here. We've got, yeah, and amens rang throughout the building. We've got to do missions right here. Point number three, evangelism is bearing witness to Jesus Christ. So Tony and I had a little experience this week that I want to share with you. I went to an auction preview to see if there was some things that we could purchase for the church to help us in a needed area. Well, there was this young lady there working for this auction company, and it was a massive church building. You can imagine they would have some things that we might could use. And so this young lady took us all through. We spent about 30 minutes with her total. About 25 minutes into it, the Holy Spirit said, you gonna ask her? And then it hit me. I was just living life. I was just doing my thing. Folks, my life is supposed to be about the gospel. Yours is too. And so, and then I realized, this really isn't for my benefit. It may not be for her benefit, My son needs to see me willing to open my mouth and tell the gospel. And I said, ma'am, I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I didn't ask you if you have a home church. That led to about a 20-minute discussion about her faith in Christ. She went to, what are you saying over there, Tony? Oh, it was 20 minutes. Poor kid. He was hungry. So, I didn't have to share the gospel with this young lady because she was saved. She knew it. But watch this. I didn't know that until I asked her. We no more got out of her presence. I turned to him and said, you realize that was for your benefit? Yes, Dad, I do. Because you need to see your dad engaging people with the gospel. Because, son, do I not ask you on a regular occasion, have you invited anybody to teen conference? Have you invited anybody to church camp? Folks, that's how we witness. That's how we witness. Because if you bring them to teen conference, well, yeah, in teen camp, we're going to witness to them. We're going to share the gospel. Now, please hear me. Church, I'm not trying to give you a way to get off the hook. Well, if I invite people to church, I'm okay. No, but that's part of it. Inviting people, your friends, neighbors, and relatives to a church that you know they're going to hear the gospel, that's part of it. Sooner or later, you need to get comfortable in your own skin telling them how you came to Jesus. The gospel according to you. And it's absolutely imperative. Evangelism, point number three, is being and bearing witness to Jesus Christ. Number four, evangelism is fishing for persons. Now, this is where I want to break down what we talked about last week. We are to be fishers of men. Look in that verse 17 of that same passage, Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And of course, that involves men, women, boys, and girls. And so you and I are to be the net. And even though I don't believe there's any problem with making an analogy of our modern way of fishing, you certainly can fish for men with your personal fishing pole. But the biblical example is a net. And everyone in this church that calls Bethel Baptist Church their home church, you make up the net. And every Sunday afternoon, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, the Lord casts the net called Bethel Baptist Church on Franklin County. And he's trying to catch people. But if you're not doing your part, there's a hole in our net. And so it's extremely important. And this is why I said last week, church, we've got to get past growing by addition as a whole church. And we've got to get to where we grow by addition that leads to multiplication by us individually winning our friends, neighbors, and relatives to Christ. Because watch this, share this with First Service. If 79 people go out and catch somebody in their concentric circles of concern, and that's a sermon coming to a pulpit near you, in a year's time, if they all catch one person for Jesus Christ, we're no longer adding to the church. We're multiplying. And if 149 that showed up last Sunday, if they go out and catch one person in a year's time, now you know I can't do the math, but you put those two numbers together, that's a lot of people. Now watch this. But we're not just going to win them to the Lord, church. We're going to teach them to win their concentric circle of concern to Christ, and now we're multiplying. And it can happen, church. If the church at Jerusalem could grow to 20 to 50,000 people in a few years, this church can grow exponentially as well. God can do anything. Amen. Let me skip back here. Evangelism is fishing for persons. You and I are on the hook for the people that we know. Fishing for persons. Number five, evangelism is being the salt of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, yours and my righteousness makes them thirsty. This is where you get back to lifestyle evangelism. We should certainly live like Christ to make people in our sphere of influence thirsty for the gospel. Brother, what's your name? Russ. I almost called you Brother Joyce. Sister Russ. Okay, so I referred to CR this morning in First Service because it might be slow, but you guys are growing. I know you are. I hear it. I keep running into people that are going to CR type thing. And when I had a guy call me, he had no clue that we had CR at church. And that's fine. He can't know till somebody tells him. Brother Ben, I'm a preacher, okay? So if you want somebody to pray for somebody that's got, quote, unquote, a serious problem, you call the preacher. Get it all the time. I put it in my phone, every one of them type thing. So he called. He gave me the name. I'm begging you to pray for this person. She's dying because of her choices. Will you pray for her? You bet. And then I said, but you know what would be even better? Bring her. You bring her to CR, because CR helps anybody and everybody with their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And who in here doesn't have one of those? Every one of us. And so, you know what? They're coming. They're coming to CR. She's still in a mess, but God can save her. God can save her physically. God can save her emotionally. God can save her socially. But most of all, God will save her spiritually and will change her life forever. Evangelism is being the salt of the earth. Number six, evangelism is being the light of the world. The light penetrates. It also drives darkness away. It illuminates darkness so things can be seen clearly. It heals and purifies. They're using laser beams now for surgery. Light heals. Evangelism is being the light of the world. Number seven, evangelism is bearing fruit that remains. Two types of fruit that you find in the Bible: soul winning and fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Bearing fruit is evangelism. Church, every person in here is supposed to be bearing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. And as you do that, again, you'll make the world salty and you'll spread the light of Jesus. But watch this. The other fruit is soul winning. You're supposed to open your mouth and share the gospel. Number eight, evangelism is being the aroma of Christ. Brad and Shannon, I shared this again. We've shared it many times throughout the years, but it's one of Bethel's challenges, but it's also one of Bethel's wonderful, wonderful examples of God moving in and saving the day. How many of you were here when Brother Clay brought the TV down on his head? We've got a few folks here. Now, this in no way is to make fun of Brother Clay. This is all a glory situation. He's not right, Brad just said. But that's between dad and son. I shared with the first service. Can you imagine, church? I mean, Clay was fighting for his life. For several hours, if not a day or two, Clay was fighting for his life. And we were fighting for his life. I can't speak for you, but you talk about cast on my back, not knowing how to minister to this family, not knowing what to say, not knowing how to encourage. And there we were, doing our part as a church at the hospital with Brad and Shannon. They're, who knows what's going on in their heart and mind, preparing to be and do for Clay anything and what they need to be and what may happen. And praise God, Charles Keith walked in the room. And we're afraid to say anything because we don't want to get their hopes up. I can't speak for you, but that's where I was at. I was failing miserably as a pastor. And Charles Keith walks in the room and says, look here, I'm giving you no promises as much as I'm telling you God can do anything. And I'm telling you as a person, a father of a brain injury child that is as normal gets after the brain injury, God can fix this. And I mean, the aroma of Christ came into that room. And my first thought was, well, why didn't I say that? Number one, I didn't say it because I was struggling too. I was hurting. I didn't want that young man to go through what he's going through. I was hurting because one of my best friends and the people, some of the people that I think the most of, were struggling and hurting. I was on my back. I didn't know what to do. But a fellow with a witness, a fellow with an experience, a fellow with a testimony came in and said, making no promises, but I'm telling you God can do anything. Church, listen, watch this. You all have permission from Jesus to speak for him. You all have permission to walk into a situation and say, look, I'm not giving no promises because good people suffer. But I'm telling you, if God so wills, he can do anything. He can do anything. And you need to speak that into people's lives. You need to speak that into people's situations. And the aroma of Christ came into that room, and it wasn't a few days that Clay was doing all right. And again, maybe not in the quotations normal, but he's good. We love you, Clay. All right, here we go. Point number 9. Evangelism is the ministry of reconciliation. Evangelism is the ministry of reconciliation. You and I are trying to win a world back to Jesus. Reconciliation. Getting two parties that were like this again. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The divine trade. So through you, church, through you, Jesus is trying to tell Franklin County, if you'll give me your sin, I'll give you my sonship. It's the divine trade. And that's what evangelism is. Point number 10. And this is the last one. Evangelism is advertising the deeds of God. Evangelism is advertising the deeds of God. So last night I had a surprise. I had no clue that I was going to get this surprise. My wife was able to go to Matea, and Matea is the oldest of the five children that Brian Kingston and Aaron Kingston adopted about 5 or 6 years ago. And so she graduated, and so Dawn was able to go to that. I was not. They had a graduation party that they invited, of course, family and friends. I think they put it on Facebook type thing. So we went. When we got there, it's Saturday, folks. I told Brian, I don't stay out anywhere late on Saturdays. This chariot turns into a pumpkin at 10 p.m. on Saturdays. So I got to get to bed. So I'm going to leave around 8 o'clock. And this is what he said to me. That's fine, Uncle Ben, but you're going to want to stay for this one surprise person that's coming. And I looked at him, I said, is my mom coming? And then I joked with him. I said, because my mom's coming, I'm out of here, dude. I told my mom that this morning. She laughed, praise God. So, hey, some of you got that. Melissa drove up, Melissa Mayberry, and I said, is that the surprise? No, that's not the, but I was thrilled to see Melissa at Matea's graduation party. Watch this. This RV shows up. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, that's got to be the surprise. Who is that? I don't know that person. Brian knows somebody I don't know, and he thinks I know him. About that time, I saddle up to Brian and say, is that the surprise? Yeah. Well, who is it? Well, he's mad at me now because I can't tell. And finally, he said, you got to figure it out. And his wife, praise God for Aaron, tell him. That's little Harvey. Of course, little Harvey's not little anymore. Little Harvey got named little Harvey because he was namesake after his dad. And little Harvey was like this to us when we were little, 3 years younger than me. And me and my two brothers bullied him quite a bit. This was before bullying was bad. It was all in fun. Because, oh my goodness. Because I was a pro because I got bullied by my two older brothers. I was trained. And watch this. This kid didn't talk right. He would say, you guys, quit it, you guys. And so we just got the way we'd push him just to hear him say that. Stop it, you guys. And boy, we had him going between the three of us. It was hilarious fun. And so I don't think there's any animosity because he still talks to me. I hugged him. And we got to talking. Watch this 20-minute conversation, if even, because again, it was almost 8. He said something that blew me away. Ben, I'm 3 years sober. What? I'm 3 years sober, Ben. I didn't know you had a problem. He said, we hide it well. We hide it well, but I'm 3 years sober. And then he told me, he says, Ben, I want your number because I like to talk to preachers because you know the word. And I was like, well, I still don't assume anything, but I'd be glad to talk to you about God's word and such of that nature. And he said, Ben, I can't get enough of it. I got to get all of God's word that I can get. I'm 3 years sober, and I want to make it to four type thing. Listen, Harvey was advertising the good deeds of God. He was advertising. I'm not going to go into detail, and don't try to figure it out, but my brother is going through a tough time. You have people that are going through a tough time. Maybe you are. I get in the car, and my wife didn't know. And I shared with my wife what Harvey said, and she immediately said, he needs to talk to Barry. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, he needs to talk to Barry. Because Harvey needs to advertise to someone else that's having a tough go the good deeds of God. And church, that's all I'm asking you to do. Let's go out and God's done stuff for you. The reason you're here, I mean, he's done stuff for you. He has moved mountains in your life and brought glory to his name through you. We need to advertise the good deeds of God. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? Evangelism. Advertising the good deeds of God. The ministry of reconciliation. The aroma of Christ bearing fruit that remains. Being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, fishing for people, bearing witness to Jesus Christ, making disciples, proclaiming the gospel. Father, if there's someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we beg, Father, that they will be saved today. We beg that they'll come in this invitation and accept you as Savior. Lord, if there's someone here that we are not sharing the gospel as we should, I just pray, Lord, you'll love us enough to show us that. Show us how we can improve. And help us, Father, to do business with you. Help us, Father, to grow through the addition that leads to multiplication. Father, we ask you to bring glory to your name in this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Let's sing, will you come?